March 3rd, 2014, Ljubljana, Slovenia, part one of having a relevant and relatable ISKCON.
Oh, she's good for you. She's...
So, there's Krishna. And this is some of Krishna's qualities, that he knows how to deal with time, person, and country. And of course, this is also one of the qualities of a devotee. As Srila Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the oldest of all, but in new dress. We might not think like that about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's preaching. From our position now, we may look at Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's preaching and say, oh, it was so traditional. But Srila Prabhupada said, this is the oldest of all, but in new dress. And of course, when Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness to the world, again, another new dress. So we have different experiences in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes we present Krishna consciousness in a way where people say, wow, this really has something to do with my life. And I can understand it, and I can use it. So there's many times that the way we present Krishna consciousness, people say, yeah, this has to do with me, and I can use it. And then there's other times when the way we present Krishna consciousness... Can everybody read English, by the way? Can you all read English? Because I'm not going to read the slide, so if you can't read English... Okay, everybody's all right with that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And there's other circumstances where we find that we're presenting Krishna consciousness in such a way that people feel, this has nothing to do with me. Or maybe it has something to do with me, but I don't know how to use it. I don't know what to do with it. And of course, this situation exists whether someone is encountering Krishna consciousness for the first time, and it even exists if somebody's been in the movement for 10, 20, 30 years. That sometimes we say, yes, yes, this is exactly what I needed. It applies to my life and I can use it. And other times we say, no, that's not a fact. Now, this is a real scenario. This is not made-up scenario. Where, you know, a person wanted to get initiated and they were told, you can only get initiated if you're properly situated in an ashram. You have to be a brahmacharya or a grihastha. And he said, well, but I'm 45 years old and I'm divorced with two children, and the temple authority said, well, you either have to move into, give up your job and move into the ashram, or you have to find another wife. This is a real situation. And this is also a real situation where there are people going to kirtans and they have no idea that the Hare Krishnas have kirtans. Right? I mean, in fact, it was a long, long time after the kirtan movement started to become popular in the world that members of ISKCON started to take advantage of that. I mean, we also have a situation where for about 10 years... people were reading books on e-readers, and we didn't have, now we have, but we were about 10 years behind. So for about 10 years, people were reading books on e-readers, and we had practically no devotional books on e-readers. Right? This is also a real situation, that there'll be papers written and classes given that don't apply to the people who's reading them. So I'm sure we can think of these kind of experiences. Times when we're just thinking, what does this have to do with me? Or how can I apply this? Now, what to speak of when we're presenting Krishna consciousness to people in general? But it's, as I say, it's even true for our own members, that the real questions and the real problems that people have are not necessarily the ones that we're addressing, or if we're addressing them, we're not necessarily addressing them in a way that people can take and use. How do we know that something is alive? How do we know that something's alive rather than matter?
It moves.
It moves. Well, trees don't move.
It grows.
It grows, okay. So it grows, it responds to its environment. And how else do we know something's alive?
It has feelings.
It has feelings, okay. Conscious, but how is consciousness demonstrated? How is it demonstrated? Basically, in these two ways. We have a continuing sense of identity. So our basic identity is there. We always give this example. Krishna gives this example, of course. Dehi no spinyata, dehe komaram yovanam dura. That as the body changes, I have the same sense of identity. But the other symptom of being alive is that you can respond to your circumstances. Right? Can this table respond to its circumstances? The table has a continuing identity. It's a table, it's a table, it's a table, it's a table, it's a table. But it can't respond to its environment. It always acts exactly the same way. So what about an organization? And I find it quite significant that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur talks about living, mechanical, and lifeless. He says, the bona fide teacher of the religion is neither any product nor the favor of any mechanical system in his hands. No system has likewise the chance of degenerating into a lifeless arrangement. So what makes a living spiritual movement? Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati talked about a living spiritual movement. So that would be the same thing, wouldn't it? That you have a continuing sense of identity and yet the ability to respond to circumstances. Now, interestingly enough, people who study the sociology of religion say exactly the same thing. Roger Fink is one of the two leading sociologists in the world who studied what circumstances are common among religions that endure and what circumstances are common among religions that don't endure. You may know that the vast number of religions that are started in the world do not endure. Most religious organizations do not last more than 100 years. So what are the common factors? And he's shown that, again, there's a continuing identity, preserving core teachings and also introducing innovations for serving the members and adapting to their environment. Well, not surprising, Srila Prabhupada says exactly the same thing. He says that one must discover novel means new, ways and means in terms of time and circumstance, a dynamic activity. He said, must be, deshkalapatra must be taken into consideration. And here Prabhupada's saying the same thing. What is the principle? Strictly follow the rules and regulations, that's keeping that identity. At the same time, devise a means by which the preaching work may go on with full force. So again, the two things, adapting and keeping one's identity, keeping the principles and adopting, that is required. Both are required. Both are required. Often we find people at one end of the scale or another. We find some people who want to change everything and some people who want to change nothing. So keep one's identity and at the same time adopt. And how is it that we want to be changing? We want to be changing in terms of these two areas, relevant and relatable. Relevant and relatable. Relevant is I can use this. It has to do, you know, I need this. It has something to do with my life. And relatable is I can use this. So relevant is I can use this. And relatable is I can use this. It's something I can do. All right. So I hope everyone has something to write with. Does everybody have a pencil or pen? Otherwise, we'll provide pins for pricking your fingers. But hopefully everybody has something you can write with. All right? And hopefully you have something you can write on. All right? I'd like everyone to just write a few sentences, 3-4 sentences, on describe an ISKCON that's irrelevant and unrelatable, and then describe an ISKCON that's relevant and relatable. Just a little paragraph, 3-4 sentences. Relevant and relatable, and irrelevant and unrelatable. So this is what I'd like to ask you if you could volunteer. What did you find was the same and what's different? Somebody like to volunteer to discuss what's the same between programs that are relevant and relatable and those that are not, and what's different? Some thoughts? What's the same? What did you find that's the same?
Well, the same time of how much energy is used for one program.
Oh, okay. Okay, we could use the same amount of energy.
And time.
Energy, time. Okay. Anything else that's the same?
Like the goal is like the goal is the same.
The goal is the same.
Yes, it is the same. We want to give Krishna consciousness to someone.
Okay. So we still have the same goal, that we want to give Krishna consciousness to someone, we want to please Krishna, and so forth. Okay. Something else is the same? Yes.
The basic philosophical basis are the same.
So same philosophical base. Yes.
The same facilities.
Maybe using the same facilities. Okay. Could be. Any other things that are the same or could be the same?
Resources.
You might have the same resources, right? Excuse me?
Could be the same people.
You could be have the same people, all right? Could be. All right, yes?
The name of the association.
The name can be the same, all right? All right, and what would be different?
Outcome.
The outcome would be very different. Okay, yeah, the outcome would be radically different, yes?
The way of presenting it.
The way of presenting it would be different, yes?
Okay.
Topics might be different. The approach would be quite different, yes?
The number of members.
Number of members would be definitely be different.
The attitude.
Attitude would be very different.
Activities
might be quite different, okay? Other things that might be different?
Priorities.
Efficiency.
Feedback.
Kind of feedback. All right, this was just some of my own thinking. Now, it's quite interesting, in at least in America, there are certain churches that have really made an effort to be relevant and relatable, and they start doubling, tripling, quadrupling the number of volunteers and people who are attending and people who are following and like that. It's really quite interesting. You know, they'll go from a church with 20 members to a church with 5,000 members. Now, if we're going to be relevant and relatable, and this is the key. This is the key. We have to know what our members are doing, what the public is doing, what their concerns are, and what is shaping their lives. Now, often, my dear friends, we don't have a clue. And how do I know this? Well, I certainly don't go everywhere in ISKCON, but I go a lot of at the everywheres. And when I go places, I generally ask the devotees, usually the people in charge, but any of the devotees, what are the problems and concerns here? What are people dealing with? And 9 times out of 10, I will get answers like, not enough people are coming to the morning program. Not enough people are going out on book distribution. People aren't, you know, we don't get enough volunteers for the kitchen. And I'll say, that's not what I mean. I said, I mean, when people wake up in the morning, what are they thinking about? What are they worrying about? What are their concerns? What are their problems? And 9 times out of 10, I just get a blank. That we just have no idea at all. Complete blank. So we often don't know. What are people really concerned about? What are people really worried about? How are their lives playing out? I was once in a temple where I was giving Bhagavatam class, and the purport was about austerity. So I mentioned that one austerity is to eat food cooked by devotees. I said this is especially true if you're living outside and both husband and wife are working. If you're only going to eat food cooked by devotees, it's a tremendous austerity. So there was one sannyasi who was listening to my class, and the next day he gave class, and he was just smashing me into little pieces. And he kept saying, it's not an austerity, prasadam, it's easy. And afterwards I went up to him and I said, Maharaj, it's easy for you. Wherever you go, people cook for you. I said, you really have, and he listened to me. And I said, you really have no idea what the lives of the people in your community are like. You don't know what they're really facing, what they go through in their lives, and what's an austerity for them. So often we just don't know. Now then, if we know, of course, the second step is we have to use what we know to change the way we present and the kind of programs that we have. Well, people will say, well, we're just going on with whatever we've done in the past. You know, why can't we just keep doing that? I mean, people are people, and, you know, whatever addressed people's concerns 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and however we address their concerns, it should be just enough to keep on doing it in the same way. But Krishna says, that physical nature is constantly changing. In one sense, everyone has the same concerns. Everybody wants eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Everybody wants love. Everybody wants truth and security. You know, psychologists can give you a list of the needs of a human being. But how those are manifesting is radically different than it was even 10 or 20 years ago. You know, if we end up thinking, well, everything's just going to go on the same way, nothing's going to change, then when unexpected things happen, you know, we can't deal with them. We don't know how to deal with them. Now, this is perhaps a very difficult concept that I see for most people to understand. And it shouldn't be a difficult concept for devotees. It should be something that once we join the Hare Krishna movement, we get. But it seems to be something that we don't get. And this is, I mean, and I'll be the first to admit that I really have a hard time getting this. In fact, I'm just going to come right out and say that I didn't get this until I went to a seminar given by non-devotees about teaching. And then I said, oh, that's what Srila Prabhupada's been saying ever since day one. And I had never applied it to myself. It was so embarrassing. So there's 4 defects, right? We have 4 defects. What are they? Making mistakes, being illusion, imperfect senses, and cheating. And who do we cheat the most? We cheat ourselves. So we have all kinds of assumptions. Right, Adhara Chandrika, we were talking today about our interpretations, how we interpret reality. We have all kinds of assumptions that we don't even know are assumptions. We tend to think that, oh yes, yes, my senses are imperfect, but not really. We tend to think that however we interpret reality and reality are exactly the same thing. Now, that can't be true. If I have imperfect senses, then what reality is and what I perceive must be different. It must be, if I have imperfect senses, and if I'm illusioned, and if I make mistakes. What to speak of if I'm cheating? Right? When we find some quote from Prabhupada that we don't like, we just don't include that one in our paper. Just don't talk about that one. I'll just talk about the quotes I like. Right? That we all tend to perceive the world through our filter of our of the modes and our filter of our desires. What they said at this educational seminar that I went to is the map is not the territory. We have a map in our mind of what reality is, but it's not reality. We do not perceive reality unless we're pure. So we make assumptions. We make assumptions about what people are doing. We make assumptions about what people's needs are, and we don't know that we're making assumptions. We have no idea we're making assumptions. We think we're just speaking facts. So several years ago, I was in Soho, I was giving Bhagavatam class on a different subject matter, completely unrelated, and somebody asked the question, why are only 10% of Srila Prabhupada's disciples active in ISKCON? And I said, where did you get your data? What research have you done? Where were you getting this number from? And we ended up talking about our perceptions versus reality. So Mahamaya Devi Dasi has actually compiled research that 1/3 of Srila Prabhupada's disciples are active in ISKCON, not 1/10. But this man kept insisting. He said, well, answer my question. I said, I can't answer your question. It's not factual. Or just recently, one devotee, who's been a devotee for quite a long time, posted something on a conference of which I am a member. And he said, most of the graduates of our ISKCON school system have not made any significant contribution to secular society. Wow. I said, what's your data? I said, how do you know? What do you consider a significant contribution? Do you all understand what I'm saying? Or I often hear from devotees, oh, in ISKCON we have a very high divorce rate. So in the fall of 2005, I took a census of every single teacher in every ISKCON-related primary and secondary school in the world. I got a 90% response rate, which everybody said was unbelievable. We had a 1.7% second marriage rate. 1.7% of the teachers in our Hare Krishna schools worldwide in 2005 were on a second marriage after divorce. And only 2% were divorced. 2% divorced, 1.7% remarried. Is that what you would call a high divorce rate? I don't think so. Yes?
How big was the data?
It was about 400 people. It was every single teacher. We had 90%. 90% of all the teachers in all of the primary and secondary schools all over the world. North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Australasia, etc.
So basically that data is applicable only for the teachers? And
that data is applicable only for the teachers, yes. It's not applicable. You can't extrapolate from it. But the data certainly showed that our assumptions may not be correct. You know, maybe there's a high divorce rate in one place. Maybe there's one part of the world where there's a 70% divorce rate. There may be another part of the world where there's a 2% divorce rate. We have assumptions, and we think our assumptions are simply facts. No, but there's a difference between our assumptions and reality. So if we think that the way people are behaving now and what their needs are the same as mine or the same as people's was 10 years ago, we are probably in illusion. If we only look at the past, then we don't really listen to people's hopes and fears and beliefs in the present. We don't even hear them. If we're convinced that people all have particular needs and particular concerns like they had 10, 20, 30 years ago, our assumptions block out our ability to take in the actual facts. So instead of getting stuck in our assumptions and our own experiences, what we really want to be is be an instrument of Guru and Krishna. We want to be open to revelation. We want to be open to reality. We talk a lot in the Hare Krishna movement about humility. And a very practical aspect of humility is, I don't really know very much. And what I think I know, I might not know. So let me go and learn. In fact, Krishna says, the first step in knowledge is humility. This is really practical humility. I need to learn. So how do we do this? Now, these researchers are really big in the management field. And some of the material in this presentation comes from their work. They're very interested in Eastern thought. So what we need is the capacity to sense an emerging reality and act in harmony with it. Now, of course, you can see that this capability is also relevant to exactly what we've had this meeting here for, the idea of having projects and getting grants. Because a lot of getting grants is knowing what's important to people in the world today. How to take, this is not just packaging Krishna consciousness for preaching to people outside the movement, and it's not even just presenting Krishna consciousness to help the already committed devotees. But when we're looking here at writing grants, it's also how do I present Krishna consciousness so it's relevant to the emerging reality in the world in general. Now, how do we gain knowledge? Of course, you all know this, right? Pratyaksha, anuman, and shabda. So what is pratyaksha? It means I'm using my senses. Anuman is I'm analyzing what I've learned, and shabda is I'm really gaining true understanding by connecting with Sadhu Shastra Guru. So I want to give an example of this from Srila Prabhupada. So why did Srila Prabhupada go to America? So here he's saying, I came here with this idea that this Krishna consciousness movement should be started from America, because anything accepted by America, people follow America. So this is what? This is Pratyaksha Anuman, isn't it? Prabhupada's noticing that people in India around him were taking America as a model. That's Pratyaksha Anuman. And here he's saying the same thing. He's saying the Indians are misled. But I knew if I went to America that the Indians would follow the Americans. So here Prabhupada's giving his reasoning. This is sense perception and logic, correct? Yes? You're looking around and you're seeing that the Indians are wearing blue jeans. You look around and you hear the Indians are listening to American rock and roll songs. Oh, they're following the Americans. If the Americans start chanting Hare Krishna, they'll start chanting Hare Krishna. But look at this. Here Prabhupada's giving something not on observation and logic, but on revelation. Why did I go to America? Because Krishna told me to go there. Krishna sent me to America. Krishna said, go America. Prabhupada said, generally people go to London, but I thought I'm going to go to New York. All right. There's a lot of materialistic organizations in the world. that do what we're going to learn, or we're going to start to learn tonight, Krishna willing, if everyone can stay awake. I know it's late, you've had a busy day, and your brains are probably very tired. You took your exam on the 8th canto, or you spent all day working on writing grants, and you can hardly keep your eyes open, and we're going to learn something very difficult and technical. And I hope this works. There's a lot of materialistic organization that teach what we're going to be studying tonight, the technical name for which is environmental scanning. And I don't call it environmental scanning much here, because if you use that term, people think you're talking about the ecology. You know, so it's very confusing. And they'll be using, of course, just Pratyaksha Anuman. They're not using Shabda. But it's very interesting. Here you have some big CEO of Hanover Insurance Company, and he's saying, whether or not you're successful depends on your consciousness. It's not just externally what you do, it's also your consciousness. So we're going to be looking at a model of using Pratyaksha Anuman and Shabda. And you all have your handy-dandy papers printed in color. Look at that. Very professional. And if you don't have one, we have plenty of extras. And please, come and get your handy-dandy color chart here. There we go. All right. Yours to keep. Give to your grandchildren. There you go. More. There we go. I'm not sure if we have. I think that's it. If you're going to need some more, and there should also be in your other printout. I think there's also in the one that's stapled. I think you also have not the one sheet, but the one that's stapled. You all have the paper that's stapled, right? The papers together that are stapled. Yes, is there also a diagram in there? Yes, there should also be a diagram in there. So, if you didn't get the stapled papers, then during the next break, say something to Mukunda or somebody so you can get your stapled papers, which you'll need mostly for the second part of this presentation. All right, so this is our U. First part of the U has to do with Pratyaksha. We're going to call it initiating. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. What are people saying? What are they talking about? This also involves, of course, reading. Listening, reading. Next step, observing, observing. What's going on? What are people doing? What are their concerns? What are their lives like? What are the core members doing? What are the congregation members doing? What are people in other spiritual groups doing? What are people in general in the world doing? What are people doing? You get a sense of the system. This is Pratyaksha and Anuman. Now, this is, we're just going over this briefly now. In part two, we're going to go over this step by step by step, exactly what to do. But this is the basic model. First is Pratyaksha and Anuman. Listen, observe, sense, pay attention with the mood that I don't know, with the mood that my assumptions, my biases may be wrong. Next step, connect with Krishna. Now we put this as a discrete step, as the third step, but hopefully one is connecting with Krishna at every moment. For those of us that aren't connecting with Krishna at every moment, at least you can do it as the third step. In other words, that you make an effort, okay, I'm really going to connect with Krishna. Krishna, what does this mean? What does it mean? In a very, very simple example is just how ISKCON moved from an ashram-based society to a congregational-based society. What does that mean? How do I deal with them? What are the services I should be offering people? How should I be training people? How have people's needs changed from when we were an ashram-based society. And that's not just using one's intelligence, but also prayer and meditation. But you have to do your own work too, you know. We were just talking about this with Bhima, yes? Right? That was with you, right? About Bhima. So you all know the story of when Bhima and Arjuna were going with Krishna to fight with Jarasandha? You all know that story? And Jarasandha wouldn't accept the supremacy of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And so Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna all went in disguise as Brahmanas to challenge Jarasandha. And then Jarasandha agreed to fight with Bhima. Now Krishna's standing right there. And Krishna told Bhima, fight with Jarasandha. Krishna's right there. And Bhima's fighting with Jarasandha. How many days? 28 days. He's giving it everything he's got, and then he says, Nashaktaram Jarasandha Mir Jaitam Yudhi Madhava. I don't have the Shakti to fight with Jarasandha. Mir Jaitam Yudhi. I can't win this battle, O Madhava. And then Krishna Abhyayam Swaina Tejasa. He gives Bhima his potency, and he splits the grass, gives him a hint. So we also have to put out the effort. Right? It's not that we just say, okay, Krishna, you just revealed to me what's going on in the world. But we make an effort, talk to people, observe people, listen, pay attention, take in data. Just like what Prabhupada did. The example we gave of Prabhupada. He paid attention and he saw people are imitating the Americans. He used his intelligence, he used his sensory perception, and he connected with Krishna. Next step. Prototyping. So Sita Rabu, you and I were talking about this morning, about prototyping. Create a prototype. Create something on a small scale to respond to the needs and the concerns and the situations that you've discovered. To explore the future by doing. And then get feedback from your prototype. And then you can expand and embody a new system. So we're going to go through each of these individually. And you see that this is having an open mind, an open heart, and an open will. Thinking, feeling, willing. All these receptive to Krishna. So this is an open mind. What are people talking about? What are people doing? How are people living? Then exploring the feelings to really try to understand what's driving these changes. So here in the first step with the open mind is just finding out what the changes are, finding out what the situations are. With an open heart, understanding what's under the changes, what's driving it, how are people feeling, what are the changing trends in society. And ultimately, of course, an open heart to Krishna. That Krishna, you please reveal the truth about to understand the meaning of what I've learned and how to use this in your service. Then an open will. I'm willing to take this knowledge and put it into action. In ISKCON and in society at large, with the prototype. And finally, an open will to get feedback from that prototype and start expanding the system. Okay, thank you. We'll meet again at 7:15. Hare Krishna.